This is Digital Story Podcast number 745, June 30th, 2020. Today's theme is Olympus Passes the Torch to Japan Industrial Partners. I'm Derek Story. By now, I'm sure every Micro Four Thirds camera owner has heard the news. The imaging division of Olympus is being carved out and sold to Japan Industrial Partners. As to be expected, much concern and speculation has followed this announcement. I'm going to add my thoughts to the discussion and we'll take a look at some of the official documents. I hope you enjoy the show. So before I get into any commentary about this, I thought, well, let's just look at what was actually written by Olympus and released, because I think the news that most of us have seen has been interpretation of those documents by various news sources, and a lot of times, in all honesty, probably interpreted in a way to grab eyeballs, okay? And I'm not saying anyone is, you know, inflating this. This is a real thing, of course. But when you stop and look at what is actually being written and what the agreement is and all that sort of stuff, there is a little bit more common sense to the situation than some of the reports would lead us to believe. Okay. In other words, I have to tell you right now, the world is not going to end for Micro Four Thirds photography. All right. We'll just start with that and then we'll go from there. I think the first place I want to start with is with a note that I got directly from Olympus, and it was a nice little sort of summary of what's going on, and then I'm going to get into the actual memo of understanding, and because there's some real key points there, and then we'll have a little bit of commentary after that, but let's deal with what has actually been written first. So here we go. This was the note that I got very early in the process. And I quote, "As you are aware, the imaging industry has experienced market declines for several consecutive years. The market is contracting as the smartphone industry grows, and competition has been steadily increasing in the mirrorless interchangeable lens camera segment. Due to these long-term trends, as well as recent market contractions due to COVID-19, the Olympus Imaging Business Unit has signed a memorandum of understanding with Japan Industrial Partners, JIP. According to the MOU, the Memo of Understanding, both companies are entering into further discussions about the potential transfer of Olympus' long-standing imaging business to JIP by the end of 2020. Okay, that right there, you know, says a lot. As anyone in business knows, when there's a Memo of Understanding, that's the first part. That's where you're trying to work things out. You know, both sides have said, we want to do this. We have some details to work through, and that's what we're going to be doing right now. Okay, back to the actual words by Olympus. During these discussions, Olympus Imaging will operate business as usual and will continue to deliver innovations to our customers, launching new products as planned. Olympus and JIP are committed to providing our stakeholders full transparency about our intentions as plans solidify." Right, as they solidify. They haven't solidified yet. And then they go on in this note to me, "For more details, you can see the corporate disclosure and that information." And we're going to go to that next. But I want to comment on this. So first of all, they have entered into the period of discussion about the transfer, the carving out of the imaging division to JIP. Now, I think, and probably most people believe, including Olympus and JIP, that this will go through, right? This is going to happen. But we don't know the exact details yet, if it does indeed go through. And by the way, sometimes these deals don't go through, okay? They don't go through sometimes because as they get further and further into the details of things, one side goes, you know, this sounded like a good idea, but now I'm not so sure, all righty. And so that still could happen. So let's go to the Memo of Understanding. And this was published by Olympus on June 24th, 2020. And it is, you know, from their executive officer and all that's an official news release. Signing of Memo of Understanding for Divestiture of Imaging Business. That's the title of it. And I'm kind of going through here and, you know, they start out and they're talking about carving out the imaging business. And, you know, they want to have, you know, all the details worked out by September 30th, 2020. So they have that up front. And then they get into the background and purpose of the transaction itself, which, you know, we can guess what's going on here. I get down into the second paragraph of this section, and they write, despite all such efforts, Olympus Imaging Business recorded operating losses for three consecutive fiscal years up to the term ending in March 2020. So 3 years in a row of operating losses, despite their innovation, despite their belt tightening, despite doing, you know, the kind of stuff that they thought might be able to stem the red ink. And they were unsuccessful in doing that. 3 years of operating losses. Then they go on. Under such circumstances, Olympus considers that by carving out the imaging business and by operating the business with JIP, the imaging business corporate structure may become more compact, efficient, and agile, and it is the most appropriate way to realize its self-sustainable and continuous growth and to bring values to the users of our products as well as our employees working in the imaging business. Therefore, they have decided to sign the Memorandum of Understanding for the transaction. I think this is very important, and I see this in business a lot. When you're a big company, as Olympus is, there becomes a lot of weight in the middle of the company and sometimes even in the upper middle parts of the company. I saw it when I was with Lopro, and you know, you go, well, why does this bag that costs, you know, $2.30 to make have to sell, not should sell, but has to sell for $58? Well, there's a lot of reasons for that, and some of that is that corporate structure that costs a lot of money. Now, I think despite all the efforts by Olympus, it's tough to change that corporate structure. It's tough to change that culture because it's not just the imaging business. They have all sorts of other things going on. And sometimes it's much easier to go to a leaner company or to transfer the assets or to sell the assets to a leaner company that has already conquered or never got that heavy in the middle and in the upper parts of the middle, and then let them run your business or your former business in a leaner way. That's a very real thing. And I think Olympus realizes that. And I think that they probably shopped around a bit for a buyer. I'm not sure how many opportunities they had and all that sort of stuff. But I think that they're thinking JIP is a much leaner machine. And the odds of the imaging division being successful with them in this current market that's probably going to stay this way for quite some time, the odds are better with imaging division being with JIP than staying with Olympus. Okay, that very well may be true. That very well may be true. And they go on to talk about JIP a bit here. They say JIP has strong track records in supporting strategic carve-outs that realize growth potential and encourage autonomous growth. By adding support from JIP, the new co, as a successor of reputable brands such as OMD and Zukio, will utilize the innovative technology and the unique product development capabilities which have been developed within Olympus, and will realize continuous growth of the business by bringing better products and services to the users and customers and by making itself a productive and rewarding workplace for its employees. So this is then where a little bit of the nervousness comes in, right? Because sounds like a great idea. On paper, it probably looks like a great idea, but there isn't a track record that we know of. That doesn't mean there isn't one. That just means there's not one that I know of, I should say, to point to and say, yeah, this is like the Olympus carve-out, and it had a happy ending. We don't have one of those that I'm aware of right now. Okay. So what they're saying is that NewCo will succeed and maintain the research and development functions and manufacturing functions globally as reformed under the contemplated structuring reforms to continue to offer high quality, highly reliable products and also to continue to provide supports for the imaging solution products that have been distributed by Olympus. So not only are they going to try to create new stuff, much in the spirit of what Olympus has done to this point, that they're also going to step in and service and maintain and, you know, do all that kind of stuff as well. So it's a two-parter. So let's take a closer look at, you know, the actual three parts of the transfer, the outline for the transaction. And by the way, by using the term NewCo, that means we don't really know yet what the name of this new company created by JIP in the spirit of working with Olympus is going to be called yet. So we're just calling it NewCo, new company, until they figure that out. So, I mean, they still have a lot to figure out, right? So anyway, here's the first part, structure. Olympus's imaging business will be transferred to the NewCo by way of company split or otherwise, and then shares in the NewCo will be transferred to a new company to be established by JIP. Okay, so JIP is going to set up this new company and the imaging division is going to be transferred over to it, and boom, add water and you've got something new there. Scheduled to be signed by September 30th, 2020. So the definitive agreement is scheduled to be signed by September 30th. And then Olympus and JIP strive to close the transaction by December 31st, 2020. There it is. There it is. So we will know by the end of the year if this is a go or not, you know. Now, one last thing that they add here is that prior to the closing of the transaction, Olympus plans to implement structuring reforms to the imaging business, aiming to change the business structure of the imaging business to be more profitable and sustainable. In other words, they want to get it in shape before they carve it out and hand it off to JIP and whatever company JIP is going to create to run it. So they are currently investigating costs and other impacts of the structuring reform. So that's what they're looking at right now. Now, I can tell you one concrete example of this, and this just happened recently. For the longest time, Olympus worked with a PR firm on the East Coast to manage all sorts of stuff for them. I mean, they really did a lot of work, and there were a number of people from the PR firm assigned to the Olympus account. And, you know, they're the ones that coordinated, you know, the press junkets and, you know, helped with advertising and, you know, a whole bunch of stuff. Well, just recently, and I mean just recently, Olympus brought in-house all those activities and terminated, you know, their partnership with the PR firm. And saying that wasn't that the PR firm did anything they didn't like or that their performance wasn't up to snuff, but we know now that this is one of those steps that they're talking about to tighten the belt and to be lean and mean for the transfer over to JIP. And I think there's going to be a lot of things like that. Now, how does that affect you and me? Well, it's hard to say. I mean, I think that bringing all the PR activity in-house doesn't really affect you or me that much, right? It's tough for the PR firm. It's going to be a lot of extra work for the same people who are at Olympus. Instead of being liaisons, they now have to do all this stuff, and their future is uncertain. They might have to do all this stuff, and then they may be let go after the acquisition. So in that scenario, that doesn't affect you and me very much, but it does affect those people. Where we're going to see the effects more have to do with the release of new products. I can't imagine that we're going to see a lot of new stuff between now and September 30th. I really can't. And if you think about the product cycles, it sort of feels like what Olympus did was that up until this announcement, they shored up all their product lines. So we have a new EM1. We have the new EMX. They released the new EM5, right? Yeah, they did a lot of stuff where they go, okay, our product portfolio is pretty much, you know, up to snuff now. We've got the new cameras out. No one's sitting around going, when is the next EM5 going to come out? Or when is the next EM1 going to come out? They've come out. They're ready to shoot with right now. The lens portfolio is looking very good. So I think that they're fine right now. They're, you know, the product portfolio is probably going to stay more or less where it is. That does impact us because I think you know, what you have or what you were thinking about buying is going to be it for a bit. I would be surprised to see any new product announcements in 2020. If there's something in the works, that may get handed off to JIP and let JIP finish it off and come out with a bang in 2021 with, you know, a cool new camera or an upgrade to something or, you know, the Pen F Mark II or, you know, whatever it happens to be. I think that they want to save that for JIP. And I know that that period is very interesting, this period that we're talking about right now during the Memo of Understanding, because there are specific things, conditions that have to be met during that period in order for the sale to happen. We see some of these here, but we don't see all of them. And I suspect that some of them are that Olympus, in this period of time, will continue to work on their products and their technologies and all the stuff they have in the pipeline and develop them and then have them ready to hand off to JIP so JIP can come out with a bit of a splash once they have formally acquired the imaging division. So that's kind of the business end of all of that. Now, in terms of my thoughts about what does this mean for Micro Four Thirds, should I be worried? Should you sell your gear and all that kind of stuff? I don't think so. Honestly, as long as innovation is happening and products are coming out, I think it's worth watching. And, you know, there is a possibility that this could go better than it has for the last 3 years. I mean, that possibility is there. I see it as a challenge and as by no means a slam dunk that things will be better, but I do see it as a possibility. I also see it as a possibility that things could more or less stay the same and at the same rate. And another thing that I'm very curious about is JIP going to reach out to Panasonic or is Panasonic going to reach out to JIP? And are they going to say, hey, this is a whole new thing now. Maybe we could renew our partnership, our spirit of cooperation, and really do something wonderful. Because, and I mentioned this in an article, I don't think Panasonic is going to dominate the full frame market. I just don't. You know, their product offering is good, the lenses are fine, all that. But we look at how strong Sony is right now. We see Canon surging right now, and we see Nikon, you know, quite honestly, very nervous right now, which means that, you know, they're gonna put it all out on the table as well. And I just don't see Panasonic being able to overcome all of that and be able to hang their hat solely on the full frame, you know, situation that they have, the product line that they have at the moment. I don't think that's gonna happen. So if Panasonic is going to stay in the photography business, I think they have to continue to nurture and develop the Micro Four Thirds business because they have a head of steam there. They have a potentially good partner in JIP, and they have a lot of stuff. It's a very nice product lineup, not only Panasonic's and their lenses and bodies and so forth, but all the stuff that has been produced by Olympus. And there's a niche there. There's a market there. You know, we all can attest to that, that many of us, you know, really like mirrorless photography and especially Micro Four Thirds mirrorless photography. So I think it's in Panasonic's best interest to try to work with a new entity. And that could produce some very interesting results. The other thing I will say is that, you know, we have investments in lenses. All of us that are in Micro Four Thirds photography, those lenses are fabulous. I mean, they really are great. And I think that there will be new bodies in addition to the bodies we already have, for us to use those lenses on. So let's just take the absolute worst case scenario, which is no more Micro Four Thirds cameras were ever made. Panasonic decides to bow out. JIP never gets off the schneid and produces something. And we are left with our EM1 Mark IIIs and our Pen Fs and our EM5 Mark IIIs and all that sort of stuff. Those cameras will still go quite a while. And there are still many, many, many of them out there. And I think, you can still buy a Pen F. A new Pen F to this day. So I think that, we're going to be fine in terms of the tools. And that is far and away the worst case scenario that I don't see happening. We just had a new camera come out, a new Micro Four Thirds camera come out by Panasonic. Now, it's not one that I'm crazy about because it's directed more toward vlogging and video and all that. But that also shows that Panasonic is trying to keep Micro Four Thirds current, because I read an interview today, as a matter of fact, with Sony on a DP review, and Sony is saying, hey, look, video is happening right now. We have to be competitive in the video field if we're going to stay relevant, and that's why, our cameras are going to be very good at video, and we're looking at things about being able to produce raw video and all that. So the fact that Panasonic came out with a camera that maybe some of us weren't absolutely crazy about, but it was a camera that, based on market research, says they should come out with right now. And that is encouraging to me. So I'm not worried about my Micro Four Thirds investment at all. I'm going to continue to shoot with the gear that I have. I'll continue to answer questions the best that I can about Micro Four Thirds photography and Olympus and Panasonic and JIP. And I'm going to continue to make the best images possible. You haven't really heard a dark cloud from me. There's just a lot of different ways this thing's going to go. I'm going to stay on top of it. I'll keep reporting to you. But I think the thing that we should do right now is just enjoy the heck out of our gear. Cross our fingers that JIP, really picks up the baton and continues to run with it. And then I say, parallel to that, that Panasonic and JIP, find a good working relationship, and let's see what we have to work with, what we have to shoot with, what products are announced in 2021. iOS 14 will finally let you add captions to photos. So I discovered this little gem, I think just today. And, we're on the heels of WWDC, the developer conference for Apple, where there were a lot of announcements about different things. There's the new operating system. They're moving away from 10 to 11, macOS Big Sur. We have iOS 14. We're going to have a new iPadOS. And, of course, Apple's going to begin the transition away from Intel chips to their own. But there wasn't a whole lot of photography news per se. And, you can understand why. Those are pretty big things that they're talking about. So I was really happy when I just saw this little gem. This must have been someone's personal project or something like that. And they go, look, we have it ready. Just let us include it, in Big Sur. So because we want to share it to people. We know people want it. So here's a bit that was on Petapixel that was based on another report. Mac Rumors, I think, brought it out originally. And I just want to read you a few lines just because I think it's cool too and I want it. If you shoot a lot of photos on an iPhone, you may be happy to know that captions are finally coming to your phone in iOS 14. Mac Rumors published screenshots of the upcoming caption, which iPhone users have long requested. There's a new Add a Caption field found under individual photos after you swipe up. Captions are reportedly synced across all of your devices if you've enabled iCloud Photo Library, and you'll be able to view them in macOS Big Sur under the Captions field, which was previously named Description. So we're going to get a name change there. The captions will be extremely helpful for locating old photos out of massive trove due to the fact that they're searchable. But descriptions were searchable too, so I'm not sure how big of a selling point that was. Finally, they go, other photo-related features coming in iOS 14 include a new filter and sorting options, better navigation, live photos, playback stabilization, enhanced memories, and redesigned image picker in apps. So we do get a few little photo goodies, and captions was the headliner for this, which tells you that we're getting very few new goodies in photos if captions is the headliner. The thing that we need to stay focused on is what's happening outside, you know, with the third-party developers and all the cool editing extensions and stuff like that, because it appears to me in Mac OS Big Sur that you have a handful of new photo tools, but not a whole lot. So if you want to read the original article, I have the link to it in the show notes. Where I have just a little virtual camera club news, we'll take care of that right now. First thing that I want to mention is that I'm working on the new archiving music title, and that's going to be originally released to Patreon members on July 8th, not that far away. It's going to be two segments to that training. The first segment is going to focus on digitizing cassette music and digitizing music on CDs. Now, the music on CDs is easy, right? You're basically transferring, but the cassettes actually do have to be converted from analog to digital. I found some great techniques for that. I talked, you know, a lot about this last week, and that is going to be available, that first installment, on July 8th. The second installment is going to finish up with cassettes and then get into vinyl, which I'm very excited about as well. Vinyl is a happening thing right now, and there's some great tools. There's a lot of music being remastered and released on vinyl. There's a lot of good stuff happening on vinyl, and that's going to be in the second installment. If you want to be on the beginning of this, then all you have to do is go to thedigitalstory.com, click on the Patreon tile that's on the far right there, go over to our Patreon site, and sign up, become an Inner Circle member, because this training is going to be free to all our Inner Circle members, and they're going to get it weeks before everyone else. As a thank you to our Inner Circle members, to our Patreon members who support this podcast month in and month out, thanks so much, guys and gals, for doing that. And I think you're really going to like this new archiving cassettes, CDs, and vinyl title. It's a two-parter. First part on July 8th. And then, speaking of online trainings, you know we have all sorts of stuff out because, well, quite frankly, I've been sheltered in place. And when I'm not out, you know, taking pictures for clients and doing workshops and stuff, well, I have to do something to keep off the streets, right? And so I've been recording lots of good stuff. So if you go over to thenimblephotographer.com, you can download, you can purchase and download Digitizing Family Memories, which is a four-part course on archiving and preserving those family snapshots that you've inherited. I also have the Essential Steps to Impressive Video Conferencing, which, by the looks of the way that things are going with the pandemic right now, video conferencing is going to be super important for the foreseeable future, and I think forever. So why not put your best face forward with this? And this is just a one-hour training, but it's dense. It's got all sorts of stuff in it. Why not be the best that you can be online? The Essential Steps to Impressive Video Conferencing will help you do that. Both of those titles are available at thenimblephotographer.com. And then I also mentioned last week that I just released on LinkedIn and Lynda, Organizing and Archiving Digital Photos. This is a title that really helps you get it together with your digital content. And also, you know, sometimes we fall asleep at the hard drive a little bit, and we could lose stuff. We could lose stuff if we're not careful. This title helps you gather all that together so that you can preserve what you've already stored away and then have it more accessible, which I think is very important as well. So those are the new things. And, you know, I just want to mention in passing, thank you, Patreon members, for being such a great group of artists that support the show. And finally, I want to thank our good friends over at Red River Paper. They have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. That's where you can go over and learn everything that you need to know about inkjet printing. And I am not exaggerating on that. Yes, you can get paper. Yes, you can get ink. You can have study tutorials, read reviews, find all sorts of fun accessories to your print projects that you probably didn't even imagine were available. All that is available by clicking on the tile, Red River Paper. And if you want to keep up with other printing enthusiasts, I suggest that you go to their Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the conversation about Olympus Imaging. I am not dark on the future at all. Cross your fingers. Let's hope for the best. And then come back and join me next week when we talk about more stuff. Until then, stay safe. Have a great week. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.